Welcome back to the Political Checklist here on the Rundown Blog. I'm political editor David Chalian, joined by senior correspondents Judy Woodruff and Gwen Ifill. Ladies, we just finished watching President Obama give a news conference after what was described in all quarters as a tense meeting at the White House last night, that where all the players emerged with no deal still on the debt and the deficit. What did you hear from the president this morning, Gwen, that you think changes the game in some way?
I don't know. I think changing the game may be optimistic, but I was struck to hear the president be so political. He wasn't just saying we should do this because it's the right thing to do, even though he said that too, but he said we have got to do this because it's easier to take these tough votes now than it is to take it in a few more months. And it was interesting to hear a president talk about the political calculus as well as the policy calculus, and in pretty blunt language, which I thought that struck me as different.
I heard the president sound confident that he's in a stronger political position than he was maybe a week ago. I mean, the fact that he is spending 45 minutes with the press talking about how he's got a great relationship with John Boehner, and John Boehner has been willing to make to lead on this, but he's got a difficult caucus. I think the president is feeling that he's in a stronger position, and I think that came across this morning. We'll see whether it bears out.
It's clear that for the president, getting a deal is a political winner for him. He tried very hard today to be sort of the compromiser in chief. But he did not bash the Republicans in any way for their intransigence on taxes. He didn't really go after them. He put it out there that they need to compromise, but he didn't really give sort of that red meat that the Democrats on the Hill love to hear, Judy.
I was just going to say, in fact, he seemed to bash the Democrats as much as the Republicans.
So where does that leave him, since he said if they are to get some sort of big deal, he and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid have as much heavy lifting to do on their side of the aisle as John Boehner does on his side
of the
aisle?
But I think they feel they're going to get the Democrats regardless. They're going to get just enough Democratic votes. Sure, there are going to be some unhappy liberals, progressives, who don't like these cuts in the entitlement program, Social Security and Medicare. But again, I think he feels he's, you know, maybe it just lasts a day or two, but in the catbird seat right now, and he's more in sadness than in anger. He's saying, gee, you know, isn't it a shame that John Boehner has such difficulty in his caucus?
It was also interesting to see him do what presidents love to do, which is speak above the heads of the people in the room and try to speak to Americans. He was asked a question about whether, citing polls which showed Americans really don't think that this whole debt ceiling thing is a great idea and that we shouldn't be voting to raise it. And he not only took that question, but then he rephrased it the way he would like it to read, which is, wouldn't you hate to lose all these things? And when he said, I'm confident I could win that argument, I think it's because the White House has decided to rephrase the whole argument, and that he will win the argument by rephrasing it. And part of the rephrasing is making it look like Republicans will walk away from the responsible thing. And you're right, the Democrats will just come along if they have to.
We hear a lot in these talks about sort of the good old days of Washington and Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill having a drink and then working out a deal together. What do you each make of the president's clear strategy today to embrace John Boehner in that way and praise that good faith effort? What was that about?
And quoting Bob Dole and saying, if we all get in the boat won't tip over. I think that was trying to keep John Boehner in the corner.
But does that help John Boehner with his Republican conference?
I don't know that it does help John Boehner, but it's something the president feels he needs to do right now. He's trying to open up a little wedge there, a little daylight between the leadership and the rank and file. You know, nobody underestimates the difficulty. This is hard. And they may not get to a deal. But I think the president right now at least feels at this moment, it looks like he's doing more to try to get something done at this moment of crisis than do the Republicans.
Fly on the wall. Would you rather be a fly on the wall in the conversations between John Boehner and Eric Cantor, or a fly on the wall between the conversations between Barack Obama and John Boehner?
The former, without a doubt.
Cantor-Boehner
conversations. I want to be a fly on the wall for that one. A deal may not happen. Is that what you said?
I said a deal may not happen because, I mean, where are we going to do? He said he doesn't want a small deal. He's not going to go for a small deal.
Right.
The Republicans are saying, we're not going to go for taxes. How do you get to a big deal without taxes?
He did say he would not. He didn't say veto, but he said he wouldn't sign a short-term deal. So that makes it, that does lift up the standard a little bit more.
As the clock keeps ticking.
Tick, tick, tick.
Judy Woodruff, Gwen Ifill, thank you very much. We'll be back with another edition of the Political Checklist right here next week. Thanks for watching.